Say to us this morning. Are you on with us, Miss Nancy?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you go ahead and I'm not familiar with the case that you spoke of in over text, so just go ahead and lay it out there for us if you would.
All right. Well, great. Thank you very much. And that's the whole intention. The reason why I asked to be on today to speak to your listeners is to make sure that as many people as possible in the Commonwealth of Kentucky understand where we're at with our pro-life laws and the challenges that we're being faced. And, you know, if nothing else, we need some prayers. You know, just following I was listening to you in the previous speaker, and, you know, here we are at Christmas time, and we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And we all want to be able to celebrate that and to celebrate it with, honoring our Lord, as well as to spend the time with our friends and family. And here we are with the case, and we're referred to as Mary Poe. And what happened is, so I'll just go back and give a little bit of history. As we all know, in 2022, with the overturn of Roe v. Wade, we had a trigger law here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky that was allowed to take effect in August. Roe v. Wade was overturned in June, but our trigger law took effect in August, which said that there were no legal abortions in the Commonwealth of Kentucky except for the bodily harm of the mother. And so there was a case that was there was a challenge to the trigger law and then also to our heartbeat bill. And both of those, the trigger law and the heartbeat bill, were passed by our pro-life legislators in Frankfurt in 2019. So these two bills and these two laws, the trigger law and the heartbeat bill, those laws are actually being challenged. They were challenged initially in 2023 in a case called EMW versus Daniel Cameron. And what the plaintiffs were, you know, they're people that are outside of the organizations outside of the Commonwealth of Kentucky that are coming in and challenging our pro-life laws. The plaintiffs included Planned Parenthood of Great Northwest, Hawaii, Alaska, Indiana, and Kentucky, and the EMW Surgical Center, that was there in Louisville. And so the Kentucky Supreme Court did not allow that case to go forward. They said that that organizations did not have standing, and that in order to challenge our laws, that there would have to be individuals that were actually harmed by our pro-life laws. So fast forward to November of this year, Planned Parenthood and the ACLU and the EMW Surgical Surgical Center have found a lady, and they're referring to her as Mary Poe in order to ensure that, you know, her identity remains confidential. So Mary Poe, along with the ACLU, have filed, they're looking for a class action lawsuit against our trigger law and our heartbeat bill, saying that it was inconvenient for Mary Poe to terminate the 7-week-old baby in her womb. And the inconvenience stemmed from the fact that she already had children, and that she would have to find child care for her children, and that she would have to arrange transportation in order to get an abortion outside of Kentucky. Now, you know, one of the very first questions that people ask me is where did Mary Poe live? Where did she have to go, you know, to get her abortion? And we don't know that because her identity is confidential. But if she lived in, you know, around the Louisville area like we do, then where in the past, well, we only had really one abortion clinic when the Roe v. Wade was overturned. We had one abortion clinic that was legal in the Commonwealth, and that was in Louisville. So if she was in Louisville, basically she could walk across the bridge into Indiana, and she could claim that she needed an abortion because of rape or incest. Now, there's, you know, because in Indiana there's no that rape and incest is part of their exceptions, and you can get an abortion without a police report. Now, under no circumstances have we been given any indication at all that this case was a rape or incest. It's just that, you know, I'm just bringing that up because you can walk across the bridge and get that here in the, you know, local area. Now, if she was in the northern Kentucky area, she could travel into Ohio and get her abortion there legally. I don't even know. Pretty far advanced. But so the after filing the lawsuit, there was the first hearing was November 18th, and that was in the Fifth Circuit Court that's in Jefferson County. And so Justice Taylor actually heard that case, and what she said was that she was going to allow Tracy Davis actually heard that case, and what she said was that she was going to allow oral hearings to be heard on January 3rd. And so if Justice Davis is of the opinion that our trigger law and our heartbeat bill, if our heartbeat law actually it's an inconvenience for Mary Poe, then she could, in essence, with a swipe of the pen, overturn our laws that protect the baby in the womb.
Wow.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
So
and
this
so
all
what we
started.
Would do, go ahead.
This started in November, and the time that we need to pray about this this hearing will be January 3rd.
Yeah. So we actually need to start praying now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to pray now. We need to pray now. Pray long. Pray hard. So you know, I'm not really familiar with Justice Tracy Davis. I'm not real familiar with her, but I am going to say that, you know, generically speaking, you know, we know that there are justices that are, you know, just because of, if we think back in the past in our history, you know, even recent history, we know that there are justices that are popularist, and we know that there are justices that are constitutionalist. So what Justice Davis said is that even though the U.S. Supreme Court justices, when they overturned Roe v. Wade, they turned the rights over back to the Kentucky legislators in order to pass laws that that were based upon the will of the people. So so a couple of things is that when that that decision was brought before Justice Tracy Davis, she immediately responded back, and she didn't say, I really don't care what the U.S. Supreme Court said, but she cited the separation of, you know, the three branches of government, and that it was her responsibility to ensure that none of the laws that were passed by the legislators imposed upon the Constitution of Kentucky. Now, as we know, all of us that are familiar with the Constitution of Kentucky, we know that there is no right to an abortion in the Constitution of Kentucky. But she immediately responded and quickly responded by saying that she would allow for the oral argument, the hearing to be heard on January 3rd. And so, you know, obviously this is near and dear to my heart. I know it's near and dear to you and Hannah and your listeners. And so in addition to prayers, what I've asked Adia Wooshner, the Executive Director for Kentucky Right to Life, to do, and I'm asking all organizations to work together to communicate the challenges that our pro-life laws are facing right now. And then also, I've asked Adia to put together a petition. And so, you know, I refer to the popularists. You know, I think that it's very important for our justices to be aware how pro-life the Commonwealth of Kentucky is, how pro-life people like you and like I are, mm-hmm. and that we want our pro-life laws to be upheld.
Yes.
And so Adia Wooshner put together that petition, and it can be found on the kyrighttolife.org. And I'm asking as many people as possibly can to take the time to, you know, share. When you go to that website and you find the petition, it's referred to as Baby Poe. Be the voice for the voiceless. Sign the No Matter How Small petition. And that is to support the pro-life laws in the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Thank you so much for getting that out there. Now I want to make sure that I have this written down right. So the website is kyrightsforlife.org.
Right to life.org. And just to go on there and sign that petition. And there's a, it's actually, when you look at it, you'll see the petition where you can actually get names, you know, people's names and addresses and phone numbers. But there's also a QR code. And what that QR code will allow you to do is actually, you know, use your smartphone and to dial, you know, to sign right into that and then to sign that petition online. And so then, therefore, these petitions would not have to be mailed into Kentucky Right to Life. But really, Hannah, however it needs to be done, whether, you know, we stand at the church steps and ask for people to sign these petitions, that's exactly what I would allow and ask people to do, is to be willing to stand at their church steps and to ask people to sign these petitions. Now, you know, I sent, you know, like I said, I sent a bunch of information to you in text, and I'd be glad to share any information that you need or any information that anyone needs in order to be educated and to talk about this and to talk about the case. I'd be glad to share that information and to talk to anybody. I'd be glad to come to your churches. I'd be glad to come to your, you know, your homes, whatever it needs to do. Because, you know, we started in 2017 with really strongly passing pro-life language here in the Commonwealth. I want to say, too, though, our first pro-life language in the Commonwealth was actually passed in 1910, and that was to protect the baby in the womb. Roe forward, you know, in 1973 when Roe v. Wade took effect, then in 2017 when we actually started challenging Roe v. Wade aggressively, and since then, as many as 13, 14 bills have been passed in the Commonwealth of Kentucky trying to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court to rehear the Roe v. Wade and to overturn it. And so what we can do is, if we're not really, really careful, our version of the Roe v. Wade, the Mary Poe case, is actually going to, with a pretty much a swipe of the pen, take away and eliminate all the pro-life activity and the pro-life prayers and the pro-life actions and the pro-life movement here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And it's a very daunting and concerning time.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy, for charging us and calling us to action here and doing what you can to get us moving and get us taking action for this. Because if we all come together and we're all praying, we don't have to let this happen. So, again, I'm going to get this link to whoever I already have someone asking me for the link. And then I would love to stay in touch with you and just stay connected to see what we can do as far as getting the word out to more people. So if you do have some more information, you can send me over text. I would appreciate that.
Absolutely. And, you know, Hannah, I had given me an email. So I sent some information to you all's email as well. But again, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to talk today. And anytime you have an opportunity, please fit me in, and I will be glad to come in and talk to your listeners. You know, even if I have to review the same information over and over and over again, I think that this is a very valuable situation. It's a very risky situation, and I'm willing to fill up any time that you, you know, have available for me to talk.
Okay, we will definitely keep that in mind. We might even talk about possibly recording a spot.
Oh, wonderful.
And then that way, because we will be off the live air, but we will have a long break before the new year, and I will talk to Pastor Aaron about just seeing what we can do. I don't know exactly what we can do, but I know we have the ability to record phone calls. So So yes, and even this was recorded today. So even if we need to, you know, re-air, yeah, snip out, edit the time that you were educating us on the situation, we can do that. So yeah, we'll stay in touch about this. And seriously, thank you for your passion for just yes, pro-life and for life in general, and being willing to go the extra mile.
Well, thank you, Hannah. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say one more thing, too. You know, I talked about the case in 2023, and the bad thing about the composition of the Kentucky Supreme Court in 2024 is that we will have a different composition of the Kentucky Supreme Court with the retirements of John Mentor and Van Meter, Justice Van Meter and Justice Mentor, Justice Minton, Justice Minton and Justice Van Meter. Those two justices who were very supportive of our pro-life language and were true constitutionalists, those two justices have been have retired. And so in 2025, we will have a different composition of the Kentucky Supreme Court. And based upon the voting record of some of the two justices, we're not confident that they will uphold and be supportive of our pro-life language. Mm-hmm. We'll pray that they will. We'll pray that they'll be constitutionalists, but we're very concerned about that. And we feel that it's very important for these petitions to be before the justice there in Jefferson County and then the justices there in the Kentucky Supreme Court, mm-hmm, if this were to move this to the Kentucky Supreme Court. You know, people are of the opinion, well, yeah, if our appeal, if it were to appeal to the Kentucky Supreme Court, and if our laws were not to be supported, then the U.S. Supreme Court would have to hear our laws. And I'm not 100% confident that the U.S. Supreme Court would hear our case and hear our concerns, because they have forced this back down to the state, given the states the opportunity. And I'm not sure how they would interpret the overturning of our laws. So it's very concerning. You know, if there's ever a time for us to call an alarm, I think it's time for that right now. So, you know, we want to avoid ever having to go, oh, my gosh, what just happened? We want to make sure that everybody knows what's going on and who's to hold accountable for that. I think the other thing that I want to point out is that in the circuit court, the Fifth Circuit Court, that justice was elected, and our Supreme Court, our Kentucky Supreme Court justices are elected as well. We've looked at other states, and that's not the case in all states. Some states, justices, their state Supreme Court justices are selected by the governor, but then confirmed by the Senate. And while we know that from a pro-life perspective, Governor Andy Beshear is not friendly for our pro-life. We already know that. He vetoed our heartbeat bill. He vetoed several of our bills. He vetoed one of the most protective, you know, when abortions were allowed. We had passed some of the most protective language for the baby in the womb and the mother, and he vetoed, you know, every piece of pro-life language that we run across his desk. So even though we know that Governor Beshear is not pro-life friendly, if he were to recommend individuals to be on the Kentucky Supreme Court, our senators, who are very pro-life, would not allow those confirmations to occur until, you know, we had the people that we felt that would actually be constitutionalist. But we're way, 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 a long way from that. At this point, they're all elected. And if our pro-life language were to be overturned and we were to pursue something like this, where our Supreme Court justices were not elected, it would take us years to get to that position and then to actually get back to where we are, protecting the baby in the womb.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for just getting this information out there to us. And again, now whenever we go to that website, I'm planning to send the link to, you know, all the ones that are asking me. It's under the Mary Poe, is that what it's under? And then no matter how small, what is the...
Yeah, if you go to the website, KentuckyRightToLife.org website, you'll see one of the very first things that pops up is Baby Poe.
Okay.
And that it refers to the petition. And then you will see where you can go to sign the petition and pull the petition for the Baby Poe. But we're referring to it as Baby Poe because we, Mary Poe, but it's, you know, so they're trying to protect the rights of Mary Poe, but we're trying to protect the rights of Baby Poe,
yeah,
and all the babies in the womb that would be put at risk with the overturn of our pro-life language.
Amen. Amen. Well, is it okay if we pray together before? And if you have anything else to share, though, go ahead and get that in there. But before...
No, I think that's... No, I'm good, Hannah. Thank you so much for this. And yes, please, let's pray together, please.
Okay. So again, we're gonna go ahead and pray for this. And if anybody else has questions about this, you can contact me. And I'm going to be in contact with you, Miss Nancy, about more information. So, Lord, we just lift up this issue right now. We lift up this Mary Poe case, Lord, and we just seek you right now, Lord. We pray that whoever hears this broadcast right now, that it would just reach out, Lord. We pray, yeah, people would be tuned in, more people than are normally tuned in this morning, Lord, and that this information would outreach the people who are pro-life, and that they would get on this petition, Lord, that we would start to be active and show up as Christians, as believers who care about life and care about what you care about, Lord, which is your creation, Lord. And we just pray right now that all of those who are on board with what you desire and your will, Lord, that we would not stay silent, but we would speak up, that we would start to take a stand and not back up in fear, Lord. But we just pray that your army, your people who stand for truth, and even people that may not live for you, but Lord, you used people throughout the scripture that you used evil people to accomplish your plan. You used people who had no relationship with you. So Lord, we just pray, we call on just divine connections, divine influence, people with influence, Lord. We pray that you would anoint them and that you would use them. And thank you for using Miss Nancy. We pray you would continue to anoint her for such a time as this. And we just pray, God, that this would not happen, that they would not succeed in trying to take away everything that we've worked towards with the pro-life movement and with overturning Roe versus Wade, Lord. And we're calling on you now to come to our rescue and to call the people, wake up people, amen, to come together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Hannah. You know, I am obviously very, very proud of my family, and I feel like that's my first obligation. But I feel like that this is probably one of the most important things in my lifetime for us to work together and for us to communicate and for us to fight this battle.
Amen.
And I'm just so blessed to have people like you where I can turn to and help pray and help communicate with this issue. So I thank you so very much for this opportunity.
Amen. Well, we're going to come together. This is one of the giants of our generation, for sure, this issue.
Most definitely.
And we know who our God is, just like David did. So he'll use whatever he needs to use if we will trust him and say yes. And so thank you for saying yes to that call. So we will talk soon, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You and your listeners.